Blog Talk Radio.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number one albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Autism Speaks, it's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Morning with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. We're headed toward 85,000 downloads of the podcast. Could not have done that without your support. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. If you're interested in calling in for today's show, the call-in number is 646-929-0368. Again, 646-929-0368. Well, today I'm having a wonderful show about autism because April is Autism Awareness Month, and there's so much that can be learned. I was just speaking with one of my guests that, you know, I can answer a couple questions, but I don't know everything. So I have some experts with me, some parents with me who have children with autism. And so today we're going to try to break some myths and learn about resources and also a wonderful film that is trying to be developed about autism. We'll learn about that. So let me just tell you a little bit about the guest today. I have Camille Proctor. She's the founder of the Color of Autism Foundation. They're a nonprofit organization committed to educating and assisting African-American families with autistic children. Also, I have Sonia Dunn, who's on the line. She's a producer and director of Screaming in Silence, Autism. Excuse me, this is a film about autism in the African-American community. And also Dr. Judy Pandey. She's a pediatric neuropsychologist and scientist at the Center for Autism Research here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So good morning, ladies, and let me see, I think Sonia just joined the call. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sonia, you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for calling in. Wow, we have so much knowledge right today on this show. I want to start first with Dr. Pandey, just with the basics. When somebody says autism, what does that mean? And aren't there a variety of disorders under that name, autism? Could you talk to the audience about that?
Sure. Yes, when we talk about autism spectrum disorders, we're talking about basically a diagnosis that consists of difficulties with social skills, social relatedness, as well as social communication, and as well as repetitive behaviors or interests. So there are a number of children who might have flavors of that, but to get the full diagnosis of autistic disorder, you do need to have difficulties in those three areas. And then there are more milder forms or, you know, pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified, which has some components of that, so the social relatedness, as well as maybe some difficulties in social communication and or repetitive behaviors. And that may or may not be associated with intellectual disabilities. Whereas Asperger's syndrome is higher functioning individuals who have impairments in socialization as well as communication or repetitive behaviors, but usually do not have intellectual disabilities or a language delay early on.
Now, I've opened the show asking you about a definition because recently in the news, according to a New York Times article, the American Psychiatric Association, they're trying to change the definition of autism. And the concern is that people will lose services that they have because they won't fit under this restricted definition. Camille, are you familiar with this initiative to change the definition?
Yes, I've actually heard about it, and I'm of the opinion that they really shouldn't do that because it's hard enough for people to advocate for services for their children, and then once they start doing these categories, it's going to make it even harder.
And Sonia, you also have a child with autism, yes?
I have two with autism, yes.
You have two children. Now, do you feel that this new definition is going to hurt or is it going to help people with autism who are currently under the spectrum?
I am still out on that. As far as what I would like to see is actually how they're planning to reorganize the categories as far as identifying autism. Once I have a better gauge on their actual strategy, I would have a better opinion on whether I agree or disagree.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to the CDC, 1 in 88 children have been identified with autism spectrum disorder. And according to the CDC, 5 times more common among boys than girls. Now, Dr. Fanning, why is it more common among boys than girls?
What we're finding is that in general, developmental disabilities tend to be more common in boys because of their genetic workup. There's more, they're more susceptible to that. If I could just go back to speaking about the diagnosis for 1 second.
Sure.
While the definition of autism spectrum disorders might be changing in terms of, like Sonia was saying, the kind of definition or what that label might be, no one is saying that the symptoms are going to look any different. So when we talk about autism spectrum disorders, we are really talking about a deficit in social interaction and those social communication as well as repetitive behaviors. So while the exact label might change a little bit, no one is I don't believe people are saying that children with social difficulties and social deficits are not going to be helped. So really it's taking that diagnostic label and then working very individually with the child. So you're a psychologist or you're a practitioner working very closely with the family to determine what the individual treatment needs are. So all of that will remain the same. There's a lot of question out there, and parents, you know, should be advocating for their children and questioning whether or not they can get the services that they need for their child and what the diagnosis means to get those services. But rest assured that we're trying to get better at our diagnostic classification.
Now, let's talk about this diagnosis. Camille, what age did your child get diagnosed with autism?
He was 2 years old.
He was 2 years old. And Sonia, you have 2 children. I'm not sure the age difference. When were they diagnosed? At what age?
As far as they are 14 months apart. As far as my oldest son was diagnosed at 3. Our second son, he was given a global delay category at the time of my son, as far as at the time of my first son's diagnosis, because he was young, and his and as everyone knows, first when you meet one child with autism, you've only met one, because every child has a different
presentation.
And, yes. Yeah. And both of my sons are totally different from each other as far as they're on different ends of the spectrum. So mm-hmm. my second son was given a global delay, and about the time he was 3.5, they did give him the label of autism at that time.
Now, Dr. Pandey, does this seem unusual to you? Because in my research that they are able to diagnose possibly at 1.5 years. Why is this, so 2 years old or 3 years old, is this unusual or is this normal? What's your opinion?
My sons are older. As far as this is,
yeah.
Sonia Dunn, my sons are older. So the new diagnosis now, he did not have at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time that we were diagnosed, that was pretty early
mm-hmm.
as far as for them.
Right. So the age of diagnosis has definitely gotten younger as we've gotten better tools and as the word about early identification and early diagnosis has spread. We continue to need to do work in that area because there is a large gap between the time in which a parent raises concerns about some
mm-hmm.
developmental difference versus when the diagnosis is actually made. And, you know, your show really highlights that that's especially true for ethnic minorities. So research at our center, at the Center for Autism Research, is geared towards reducing that gap in ethnic disparity. And so there's nationwide and really worldwide, there's efforts to get earlier and earlier diagnosis so that there's earlier access to intervention.
So now, what are the tests that they do? Because there's no one test.
Yes, there is no one test. There is definitely no one test. If there's one thing we can leave parents with and the families with today, there is no one test to diagnose autism. There's no one questionnaire. There's no one tool. You need to have an expert clinician. So that is somebody who has a deep awareness of child development, child psychopathology, as well as a specific expertise in autism spectrum disorders to conduct that evaluation. And then using their expert clinical judgment as well as these diagnostic tools, then, like what some of your guests are saying, that individual diagnosis is made because autism looks very different in each child. And so you have to spend that time doing that workup on that individual child, getting the developmental history from the parents to then assess whether the constellation of symptoms is appropriate to have a diagnosis of autism or if it's something else, and then looking at the individual treatment options.
Camille, I want to bring you in the conversation. That's Camille or Sonia.
It's Camille, and I was just going to reiterate what he said, which is, you know, I knew what my son's milestones were, and I was very aware that he wasn't pointing at age one and the things that he wasn't doing. So these were concerns that I addressed with his pediatrician. So he began an early intervention program right around 16 months, and they worked with him. And one of the problems that I had with my son is because, like everyone said, autism looks so different. Well, his autism looks like someone that's engaging and likes people. It was hard to get a real diagnosis. I'm like, but he's not supposed to walk on his tiptoes. He's not supposed to flap his arms. And so, you know, and I agree with Dr. Pennett. It's very important, and I can't stress this enough to parents, that you need to see a professional. You need to see a developmental pediatrician. You need to see professionals in this field that can tell you developmentally what the issue is. Because you can't wait till sometimes, you can't wait till the child gets to school and get an IEP. That's not, you know, that's good, but that's not.
Camille, let me bring Sonia in because one of the issues, I guess, as a parent is we can be in denial about where our child is. Even if they don't have autism, we can be in denial about, no, she didn't hit, she would never
oh,
hit.
Yeah.
She,
oh,
no,
oh,
no,
oh.
You know. So, but also a knowledge of not, we don't, who knows what autism is? If I walk in the street right now, I mean, they'd be like, oh, yeah, I heard about it. But what does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? What are the different variations of it? Sonia, you know, I had you on the show today because you're making a film. Why don't you tell the audience about your film that you make, you're making, Screaming in Silence?
As far as Screaming in Silence, it's about autism in the African-American community, and I think it touches very well on the point of what everyone has been speaking upon as far as the disparity as far as in the urban area, especially the African-American community and also the Latino community. As far as we all know that as far as these children are sometimes late diagnosed or early diagnosed, and the film talks about families who have experiences not knowing how to best approach their
getting diagnosis. You guys are doing a fundraiser on Indigo, though, right? Indiegogo.
That is correct. We have started the as far as the production for the film, and we completed majority of the principal photography, but because of the film's subject and the intensity of the subject, we are running a little bit short on funds in regards to the post production. And so,
yeah, I posted the links for you on Twitter or Facebook, and I think we have a question from a caller here. Good morning, you're calling from 919 area code. Good morning, did you have a question? I guess they just wanted to listen in. That's okay, they just wanted to listen in. But if you guys are listening out there and you want to call in, the call-in number is 646-929-0368. I see you guys in the chat room. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I hope the show is going to be helpful to you. Now, Dr. Pandey, you work at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia at the Autism Center. What are some of the services that you can offer if a parent comes in to the center trying to find out, hey, what's going on with my kid? Are they autistic, and where are they on the spectrum?
Sure. So at the Center for Autism Research at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, like you were saying, we have a number of options available, and we are really doing world-class research to kind of push the field ahead to look for causes of autism that can then lead to better treatments. The best way to get involved with our center, and we love to hear from every single family, we wish we could help everyone. There is this idea about research that it's hard to get involved and that it's very difficult, and you know, parents can be apprehensive about that, and we totally understand that. So what we've done is we've created an online enrollment tool called Autism Match, and you can log on to Autism Match on autismmatch.org, and you'll learn about the different studies that are going on. And so for parents who live regionally, close to the Philadelphia area or in the tri-state area, who can travel to our center, this portal allows you to learn about the different studies that your child or children might be eligible for. And then if you live further out, you can participate in online studies as well as, you know, letting us help you by giving us some broad information about who your child is, and we can help you access services. So that's one way in which we've kind of demystified research enrollment. The other is we have a number of workshops that are run by our social worker who's at our center, and those are to help parents who are not only have children who are newly diagnosed, but also parents of children who are now adolescents, and we're starting up an adult workshop as well. So we're trying to do multiple things at our center. We're doing research to help identify some of the causes that's in infants all the way up until adults, and then community access and service so that our regional community, who's local to us as well as nationwide, we can get the word out about autism and the causes of it as well as the treatments so that parents like the ones that you have on today can get access to services even faster.
Camille and Sonia, Camille mentioned earlier about this IEP. Many people may not know what IEP means, the Individual Education Plan, and that legally, if the child is in public school, a parent has a right to get their child tested, whether for a developmental delay issue or if they're gifted. Many parents are not aware that their child could be gifted and that they have a right legally to ask. And once the parent asks of public school to proceed, the school has certain timelines. Sonia, did you, when you your child started school, did you engage them about setting up an IEP for your son?
Actually, as far as my sons were on a IFSP, which means they were in the educational system before they were actually in kindergarten. And a lot of parents are not aware of that a child, as soon as they are diagnosed, the best thing for them to do is to go, after speaking to a pediatrician, is to actually engage the educational system in creating an IFSP, because they can actually start services for their child as early as 2.
Wow.
And receive services, pre services from the educational system. And a lot of people are not aware of that, because a lot of people, everyone says IEP, but there is a step ahead of that which can have services brought into the home to help with speech, occupational therapy, other related services as well, that the school system actually provides for the family.
Sonia is very right.
Well, that's
called an Individualized Family Services Plan, or IFSP. That's very true.
Yes.
And Camille, did you know about this program when your son was younger, or did you just know about the IEP?
He was in one. As soon as he got diagnosed, and that's one of the reasons why I do what I do, because as soon as he was diagnosed, he was put into a program, and he was able to get therapies that he needed. And there's a variable of different types of therapies, but it's very important for parents, again, to get the diagnosis that they need, especially in minority communities and underserved communities, because
Well, Camille, why don't we tell them your phone number? I want to tell them your website. It's thecolorofautism.org. Again, thecolorofautism.org. And is there a phone number somebody can call you if they want to learn more about your association,
sure,
or an email?
Sure.
Or...
sure. It's 404-941-6441. But one other thing that I just wanted to say is that it's important, because many children of color go undiagnosed and misdiagnosed, and they end up in the criminal justice system. So that's something that has to stop. We have to get these kids diagnosed early, and we have to get them on a path of healing.
Now, Sonia and Kimmett, why do you think African-American children are being misdiagnosed or late diagnosed? Is it that the clinicians are not knowledgeable about autism, or even that they themselves may not know what to look for? Do you think it's because of racial bias? Why do you think, Sonia, that there is this disparity in diagnosis for people of color?
First, let me say I'm not an expert. I'm going to give my opinion and from the research that we've done from the documentary. Mainly, it's a combination of denial in the African American community, lack of information in the African American community, and also awareness. As far as with a combination of those, as far as there is a stigma about mental health in the African American community, and we want to help them demystify that. And let them know that even though your child might have a neurological disorder, that does not mean that they are not teachable. And the sooner you are able to accept that, okay, my child might have a neurological disorder, what steps do I need to do to help them along their path in order to have a quality life? And we're hoping that the film will be able to help other families as far as to embrace it more and be more proactive instead of waiting until it gets out of hand and out of control as far as the behaviors.
So, you know, I want to bring Dr. Pandey back in. I want to just talk a little bit more about some issues that people with autism may have in terms of sound and movement and how they react to that. Can you talk to the audience a little bit about that issue?
Sure. So all children with autism spectrum disorders don't necessarily have these sensory sensitivities, or what you're talking about is either having a trouble with that sensitivity or wanting it. So seeking versus sensitivity are two very different things. And what we see is in children with autism spectrum disorders, some of them really either seek out sensory input, so they might really want to feel a lot of things. Some children have an acute sense of smell, and they either enjoy that or dislike it to a great degree. So it ends up causing disruption in daily life if it's at that level, because if they, let's say they have a sensitivity to sound, then they can't go to school. The fire alarm bell really disrupts their whole schedule. And alternatively, if let's say you have a visual preoccupation, then you're not playing with toys as much because you're visually seeking them out and you're inspecting them in a way that doesn't really let you play with the whole object. So again, when you meet with a clinician, be they a developmental pediatrician or a clinical psychologist or somebody else, having the time to talk about all of those behaviors becomes very important, not only for diagnosis, but I can't emphasize enough for treatment planning.
Yeah, so every child is individual and they're presenting the symptoms in a different way. Mm-hmm. I want to mention again that the Screaming in Silence film is on Indiegogo, and I posted the link, and if you want to donate, they're still looking for funds to try to distribute and complete the film, Screaming in Silence. Sonia Dunn is the filmmaker. Also, if you want to learn more about the Color of Autism Foundation, thecolorofautism.org is their website. And, Camille, can you give your phone number again?
Sure. It's 404-941-6441.
Okay, just repeat it again one more time because you broke up a little bit when you said that.
Certainly. It's 404-941-6441.
And also, I want to mention about the CHOP's website. It's CHOP.edu/services/autism-center, but I also have tweeted and Facebook about that center. But if you go to CHOP.edu, you can look up Autism Center and learn about their services and resources. But there's also a lot of other wonderful autism organizations, Autism Speaks, Autism Now, Autism One. There's a lot of more services nowadays than I think, you know, when my daughter is 18 now, I think when she was younger, or any concerns, you know, testing when she was younger, that there definitely weren't as many organizations. And there are a lot of stars. I just played the public service announcement on the show, Open, Toni Braxton, her son, has autism, Holly Robinson Peay, Aidan Quinn. There are a lot of more public figures who are out there trying to bring awareness. I want to thank you, women, for coming on this morning and sharing your knowledge about autism. And I want to, Camille, I want to ask you if there was one thing you could tell a parent if once their child is diagnosed, what would you tell them to give them some kind of hope about the situation?
But don't be afraid. that's the best advice I can give them. Don't be afraid. Just know that it will get better and it can get better. But you know, you have to make it better. And
so
that's
you,
the only
Sonia, what would your advice be? Sonia, you still there?
Oh yes, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, what would your advice be to a parent who just found out their child was diagnosed with some kind of autism disorder?
It's okay to grieve. The grieving process, as far as the thoughts and dreams that you have for your child, it's okay to go through that, but understand that there's a time and place for everything, and there's a time to grieve, and there's also a time to be proactive as far as for your child. You are your child's best advocate. If you don't research the sources out there for them, no one else is going to. And that is very important.
Dr. Pandey, what would you offer a parent who comes into the center and is diagnosed, some words of wisdom or hope to help them through this process?
I think your parents did an excellent job of really stating what parents need, and that's to have their time.
Dr. Pandey, I'm sorry, you kind of dropped off there a little bit. I think she kind of dropped out a little. Sometimes technology and phones act a little funny. Well, I want to thank all of you for coming on the show today. Again, I want to mention thecolorofautism.org. Also, check out chop.edu and look up the Autism Center there. And thank you so much for calling in today. And I wish you luck with the foundation and also with the film, Sonia.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody,
thank
for tuning
you
in. You can follow. Thank you so much. You can follow me on twitter.com/JoyKeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Stay tuned. We're going to be doing a little spring cleaning, and also you want to follow and become a fan because I'm going to be giving away a $25 gift card to the Container Store to help you with your spring cleaning. So have a wonderful Saturday, but if you have time, stay tuned for the spring cleaning show with Geralyn Thomas coming up in about 2 minutes.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number 1 albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Autism Speaks, it's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.